Welcome to Divine Inspiration by Dontisha James. Today we're going to talk about John the Baptist. Yes, John the Baptist. So John was the theme of John was Jesus was the Son of God. The purpose of John states that his purpose for writing in 20 verse 31, namely that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in that believing ye might have life through his name. The subjective is that you may begin believing, and the present subjective is that you may go on believing. And so let's get into the Word of God. Let's get into the Word of God. We're going to go into John chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 5. And the Word of God says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so John begins his gospel by calling Jesus the Word. John presents him as the personal Word of God and indicates that in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son. Scriptures declare Jesus Christ is the manifold wisdom of God and the perfect revelation of the nature in the person in person of God. Just as a person's words reveal his or her heart and mind, Christ as the Word reveals the heart and mind of God. In the beginning with God, Christ was not created. He is internal, and he has always been in loving fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. True, genuine life is embodied in Christ. His life was the life for everyone. God's truth, nature, and power are made available to all people through him. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because only for us to get to God is God, we got to go through Jesus Christ. And so let's keep going on. The light shining in darkness. The light of Christ shines in an evil and sinful world controlled by Satan. Let me say that sentence again. The light of Jesus Christ shines in an evil and sinful world controlled by Satan. The majority of the world has not accepted his life, our light, but the darkness has not comprehended it either. They have not mastered it or won it over. Why do we think the majority of people like darkness rather than light? Let's look at this. Let's go back into John. Why do we think that the majority of people like darkness rather than light? So let's go into John chapter 3. And I'm going to go down to verse 19. And the Word of God says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Jesus said that we love the darkness for sin rather than the light of righteousness because the human heart finds pleasure in sin. You hear that? That's our human natural heart finds pleasure in sin. And so that's the reason why we got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he can cleanse our heart, for our heart can start desiring more of him. That's why it's so important for us not just to say we go to church, but really study the Word of God, really get more knowledge and more understanding and more wisdom from God to understand what he's saying in his Word. So it's very good for us to go into Bible study into our church, for we can get more understanding of what God is talking about. And so if you don't believe it, visit the adult section of your local video store. Look at the covers to see the type of entertainment the hearts of men and women crave. Unspeakable violence, inconceivable horror, and unending sexual perversion. On the other hand, truly born again persons love righteousness and hate wickedness. Let me say it again. Truly born again believers love righteousness and hate wickedness, and are grieved when they see the unrighteous deeds of the deprived people. They take no pleasure in the sensual entertainment or the expression of sinful conduct shown so openly in contemporary society. So let's go into First John. We're going to go into First John, and I'm going to read chapter 2, and then I'm going to go down to verse 15 through 17. Listen to what the Word of God says. It said, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Sense of sin and deep hatred to it. Faith in Christ and love to Him. Delight in holiness and longing after more of it. Love to God's people in this distaste for the things of this world. These are the signs and evidence which always occupy true conversions. So believe that because scriptures says Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, that he must have struggled with temptation to lie, to steal, to sin sexually, etc. But scriptures explains that all the attraction of this world fit into three categories. What is the three categories, Dr. Teacher? The three categories is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus was tempted by the devil in these three areas, and as the last Adam, he successfully passed the test. These are the same tests that the first Adam underwent and failed. So the first Adam, which was in, you know, the beginning, Adam and Eve, he failed, but Jesus Christ did not fail this test. So Adam and Eve saw that the tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. Was pleasant to the eyes. That was the lust of the eyes. And was desirable to make one wise, which was pride of life. We will pass the test and not tempt to these temptations by following Jesus Christ's example. He quoted the truth of the word of God. Let me say it again. He quoted the truth, which is the word of God. We got to have the word of God planted inside of our heart. So how do we get the word of God planted inside of our heart? We got to meditate upon that word. We got to repeat that word. Whatever we're going through, we should study in that word about, let's say if we're feeling fear and we're going through fear. We should read in Psalm 23, I think it's verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear no evil. So we should read those scriptures over and over and over till we get it planted inside of us. So when the enemy comes with us with temptation, we should be able to use the word like the word of God out of our mouth, as well as Jesus did the same to Satan. That's what believers are supposed to do. Let's keep going on. He quoted the truth of the word of God using the sword of the spirit to refute to the lies of the enemy. Are you quoting the truth, which is the word of God, out of your mouth when you are facing with temptations? That's my question for you. When you are facing temptations, are you quoting the truth? Because that's the only sharp-edged sword that makes Satan flee. Other than that, we can quote however we want to quote, and the words we come out of our mouth is useless. It's no sword. It's not going to fight the enemy behind us. But when we quote the word of God, it will work. So let's go into John chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. The word of God says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. You see that? John the Baptist was not the light, but he came as a witness about the light's coming, which was the light was Jesus Christ. So as a clarion voice crying in the wilderness, John's ministry took place in the wilderness of southern Judea. Impartially in the Jordan Valley. His first appearance is recorded as being in the 15th year of Tiberius, approximately 26 through 27 AD. In his dress and self-denying and desert dwelling habits were striking, suggestive of the prophet Elijah. So that's why John dressed the way he dressed. When we not of the world and we don't copy the behaviors of the world, we don't really focus on our outer appearance. We put on our clothes, but we not really focus on that. Our focus is being a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ to the unbelievers and be able to share his love and be kind. It seems fitting, however, that the one who called man to repentance in the beginning of a self-denying life in his own natural life, that resounded note of John the Baptist was his announcement of the impending approach of this Masonic age. But while he drew crowds of expected multitudes who came to hear this voice declaring, prepare ye the way, his prophetic account of the soon coming king and his kingdom was probably quite contrary to the hope of his audience. Instead of the expected day of deliverance from the foreign oppressive, John's call to repentance was a very harsh and radical message for deliverance. In the inner life, it called for a complete change of heart. in life, bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. And when asked what this mean, he made it clear to the inquiring multitudes, publicans, and soldiers just what these fruits were to be: to do good, be honest, refrain from extortion, and be content with wages. What would you do if you in your town that God has raised you up a prophet that doesn't look like your expectations? Would you believe that God sent him or her? Or would you think like the Pharisees and Sadducees? And so it was that the thunderous breaking of 400 years of silence that should have suddenly shocked every Pharisees and Sadducees from their self-complacency fell in deaf ears and lay unseen before eyes blinded a flawed genetic scan in the children of Abraham. And when offered the way to freedom, they chose instead to cling in their stubborn and self-continued bondage in the merit of unkeepable law that was sure to justify kill them. So they didn't want, and it was so amazing because God has not taught for 400 years. They should have been shocked that God sent a prophet. Because God has not spoken to them for 400 years, but what they do, they stay stuck in their laws, they stay stuck in their religions, they stay stuck in their own righteousness, they lean on their own understanding, and they were church leaders. They was church leaders. And so we got to make sure what we're doing and when we are going to church and who we follow in, that it's all about the kingdom of God and it's through Jesus Christ, not people. Not people, but our God alone. So let's go back into John. John chapter 1. Verse 9 through 13, the word of God says this: the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions, or a husband's will, but born of God. And so on the day of judgment, no one can plead ignorance. God has given light to every man. Jesus Christ illuminates all who hear his gospel by imparting a measure of grace and understanding in order that they may freely choose to accept him or reject his message. Apart from this light of Christ, there is no other light by which we may see the truth and be saved. Why didn't the world not know Christ? The Son of the Highest was here in this lower world. He was in the world, but not of it. He came to save a lost world because it was a world of his own making. Yet the world knew him not. The world refers to the whole of society organized and operate independently of God, his word, and his rule. The world will never recognize Christ. It will remain indifferent to or an enemy of Christ in his gospel until the end of age. Let's go into James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. And the word of God says this: you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So friendship of the world is spiritually adultery, unfaithfulness to God, and pledge of commitment to him. It involves embracing the world's attitudes, its values, and sinful ways. God will not accept such friendship for he is a jealous God. Believers cannot belong to such group. The world that will compromise God's word, godly standards, and separation from the world and loyalty to Christ. Mary said that they are Christ's own, yet do not receive him because they will. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get to go into scripture, but let me wrap it up with this. The favor is given only to those who believe in him. All others are the children of the wicked one, and no one who has not confidence in God can be regarded as his child. True faith is not a state belief and trust in Jesus in his redeeming work, but a loving, self-abandoned commitment that consistently draws near to the Lord Jesus Christ in spiritual intimacy. God was under no restriction to offer us salvation through Christ's death other than the restriction of his own love and compassion. And then we're going to read John chapter 1, and I'm going to go down to verse 29 through 34 as I wrap it up. It says this: the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one who meant when I said, a man who comes after me has suppressed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is God's chosen one." And so Jesus Christ is God's chosen one, and God's children are separated from the world because it's an enemy towards God. So no, we don't copy the behaviors and custom of the world. No, we don't want the behaviors of the custom of the world because it belongs to Satan and it's going to destruction. So that's why it's so important for us as believers to draw near to God through prayers, through his word, study and meditate and worship him. Boy, he can draw our heart near to him so we won't copy the behaviors and custom of this world. Thank you so much for listening to Divine Inspiration. God bless you. Bye.